not united.
South Bronx, amen. God is good. I was looking at the time. I'm going to do this in a Pentecostal minute. You know what a Pentecostal minute is, right? Do you guys know what a Pentecostal minute is? A long time. Praise the Lord. God is good. Like he said, I come from Gospel Tabernacle in North Bergen, New Jersey. He's only 15 minutes away from here. I'm married to the most wonderful man in the world. He is the love of my life, Pastor Joe Santos. He's also the assistant presbyter of our district. It was easy for him to say, go preach, because he loves when I go to preach. And I don't do this a lot because I'm the worship leader in my church. And I got to tell, what's the worship team? Where did they go? Well, they probably, I will tell you. The way you prepare for the word is amazing. I have a church, and we worship for an hour on Sunday mornings. I've been to churches that they sing in 15 minutes, collect the offering in 5 minutes, do the thing, and I leave like, what happened? It's like one of those revolving doors. I can't handle that. I'm a Puerto Rican. I need to worship God. I need to get in the face of God, and I want to prepare the atmosphere for the word, and I want the gifts to be manifested, and I want God to move, because okay, this what is it, fast food church ain't working. And they even got churches in Florida now where you drive through churches. I will tell you, the devil is running rampant. Amen? So I just wanted to say, I've been married 35 years. I have two wonderful children. They're 32 and 33. I have 6 grandchildren. My daughter finally moved out. She got married. She lived with me for 6 years because I wanted her to buy a house. So she lived and she's out. So now me and hubby are by ourselves, and these people talking about emptiness. We've been emptiness a long time ago because it's always been about me and my husband anyway. So it's no big deal. So they're gone, and we get to travel. I just got back from Asia. I went there for 2 weeks. We went to Cambodia, Thailand, Myanmar, and Bangkok. We went to go check some stuff about human trafficking, which we're interested in helping and saving girls, and it was an amazing trip. But I will tell you one thing. We are blessed in the United States of America. We are blessed. When you see children going to the bathroom in the same water that they drink and bathe in, it kind of gives you a wake-up call that we are a spoiled nation. We are a spoiled people. Yes, God takes care of us, but sometimes we buy out of luxury and not necessity. And when we over there, when I got back home, I went to the kitchen, I took a glass, never drank New Jersey water in my life, by the way, got in front of my sink, put some ice, put a lemon, and said, Lord, I will never complain about New Jersey tap water ever again. And it was a wake-up call because we have it good in this country. But pray for that country because they are in need of Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. They're Buddhist, and they believe that they live the way they do because it is karma. They deserve it from their past life. And maybe when they die and come back in the next life, they can come back as a horse, a cow, whatever, whatever, and they'll be better. So pray for them because they're really blinded in that country, and the children are raised into this stuff. So they need a lot of Jesus. Amen? I'm so happy about the worship because this week as I was meditating on the word of God and saying, you know, you always get nervous. When you're going to preach and you're not nervous, check yourself. Check yourself, because I'm shaking my boots right now, even though I don't got no boots. But we're living in a time where, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you because you are an awesome God, because you are a good God, because even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. So, Lord, prepare the hearts of your children as we hear from you this morning, God. Anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Let it be you speaking and not me, God. Move in an awesome way, oh God. Open their ears that they may hear what the Spirit of the Lord has for them today, oh God, that their hearts may receive this seed. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You guys have had Pastor Robert, right? Pastor Robert is my associate pastor. Well, I love him to death. But you guys are singing about freedom, and as I was meditating this week, the word peace and peace, that word peace just kept on coming into my heart. The holidays are coming, and everybody's going crazy. I just want to let you know Christmas is not my holiday. I am a Thanksgiving girl. I love to stuff my face and go into a food coma after, and I'm very happy about that. But when it comes to Christmas, there's too many things going on, and we forget that Jesus is the reason for that season. And we start getting worried, and people start, we got to get this gift, and we got to get that gift. Oh, my God, and the church has to have this tree, and the church needs these crowns. And I'm going, that's not what it's about. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus that all men may be drawn to him. That's what it's about. And sometimes the enemy wants to take our peace. And this is what I'm going to read. I'm going to read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, are you anxious today, and do you have peace in troubled times? Because we are living in troubled times. How many of you know that we are living in troubled times? Everywhere we turn, there is trouble. In the church, there's trouble. Outside of the church, there's trouble. In your job, there's trouble. In your family, there's trouble. Trouble's everywhere, but I got good news for you. This is what the Word of God says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not in some situation, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who's going to guard your heart? There he goes. The problem with us is we trust too much in ourselves and we forget about God. You know when you have peace, when everybody's getting laid off in your job and they come and tell you you're going to get laid off, you're like, I ain't got to worry about it because Jehovah Jireh is my provider. I don't know. They're going to kick me out of my house. Don't worry. God is going to supply it. He's my supplier. And sometimes we get caught up in what we can do. And we need to stop that. And we need to run to the King of Kings, which everything created was created by him. And everything is his in the first place. So when we get caught up without this peace, we get in trouble. I am a woman of the word. I will tell you. We had a speaker in our church this week. And last week, and he says something I had never heard. I love the word. As you notice, my word is orange, and the reason I have it orange is because I want everybody to know this is the word. And he said something about honoring the word. I love the word. I read the word, but I never heard of honoring the word. And when he said that, I sat there going, what? Honor the word. Now, this is Sister Rita. She's my armor bearer. She goes with me where I go. And we talk about the word every day. I mean, we're a word. We love the word. The word is what dictates my life. Everything is in this book. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what this is. If you cannot read your word, you have a problem. Because God says that in the last day you need to. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In the last days, you need to know your word. You can't be saying Jesus wept 20 times. Oh, for God so loved the world. Mm-mm. You need to know this word because this is the word that's going to dictate your life. This is your instructions for your life. This is your directions for your life also. So when it comes to peace and you deal with situations, you have to know that God is your peace. That nobody should take your peace. We were talking about that in the car today. Everybody's getting crazy in church about decorating for Christmas. Like, why are you guys are so crazy for? It's just a decoration. Why are you guys? What's wrong with you guys? And we're talking in the car how people get all frantic. Letting the enemy take your peace. If we don't decorate, Jesus is still in the house. It don't matter. Tree or no tree, poinsettia, it doesn't matter. It's all about pointing to Jesus in the first place. So when this enemy comes and attacks you about your peace, you need to know who you serve. You need to say, no. You ain't taking my peace. My peace comes from God. And ain't nobody or nothing's going to take my joy or my peace. Amen? It says, let's not forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't allow the enemy to steal your peace. Matthew 6:25-34 says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Here, Paul is echoing that Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount in that the believers are not to be anxious, but are to entrust themselves in the hands of their Heavenly Father. You are in the palm of Jesus. God got your life under control. Listen, you got to understand that if you're here, it's because God wanted you here. There's no coincidence. There is an ordained time by God for every one of us. There is a purpose in the house of God for every one of us. One is to help the church. The other is to go out there and preach the gospel to one, to the lost. Because like she was saying, they're lost and they need Jesus. And we need to start preaching to one another because I'm already saved. Stop preaching to me. We need to go out there and start preaching to the people. I tell that to my people all the time because there's a lot of people out there that ain't got no peace. But let me let you know, that peace that you have inside of you, when you start to talk to somebody about Jesus, they feel that peace. Because all of a sudden, they just calm down. There's something that happens. My biggest problem is when I go to, I always say the enemy attacks me when I go shopping because I always get cashiers from hell. For some reason, I just get cashiers from hell. They're just from hell. And either they throw my clothes, or they don't fold my clothes, or they're nasty. So I've learned to stand on the line. And I'm telling you, you will laugh at me because I don't care who's standing. I don't care. I belong to Jesus. I don't care. And I start saying, Lord, I'm going up to that cashier, but in the name of Jesus, I speak peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost right now, Lord. Because God knows all things. And I go up there, and she said, hey, God bless you. Happy holidays. No, honey, Merry Christmas. There's no happy holiday here. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I'll keep on saying Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. And then stop it. But anyway, so she talked to me, but then there's times that I go up, and they're nasty, and I've had to learn. You don't understand. When we come from the South Bronx, yo, that ghetto just comes up, you know, just raises up. It just raises up. And don't get nasty. And I just look at the name in my mind, put on the mind of Christ. My own mind is like, oh, she didn't go there. I got to tell her what she's about. And then the Holy Spirit's like, You ever seen that commercial, The Devil and God? Have you seen that with the picture? Do it, do it. Don't do it. You better learn. Do it, do it. Don't do it. And I'm there. And this is me, guys. How many of us have this battle? Come on, guys. And I'm like, okay, so I look at her. I do one of my four smiles, you know. Try to, hey, God bless you. Yeah. Oh, what's so good about the day? Oh, Lord. Okay. We're going this way. So no, it's just a good day. God bless you. You know, I pray that you have, you know, a good day. I hope you have a good day. You got 9 hours of all these nasty people coming to you. I understand. I said, but God loves you, and you know, whatever. And I walk away, and I go to my car, and I just start to intercede for that person, because that person needs peace. They need that peace that passes all understanding. And if you have that peace inside of you, that peace rubs off. And you know, we need to be children of the light and stop being children of darkness and acting like the world. We are not of this world. We are, according to the world, we are foreigners. We belong to Christ. And when we walk in this world, when you walk into a room, your peace that God is in you should change the atmosphere. That room should never be the same again. I have walked in with my family. My family is crazy. Very dysfunctional family, just gotta say. Puerto Ricans, oh my God, they fight about everything. At the pastel, on Thanksgiving, I decided to go to my brother's house. I lost my mother about 4 years ago. It's 4 years ago. And my brother has been depressed for 4 years because he was very close to my mom. And he says, come over for Thanksgiving. I said, okay, I'll bring the dessert. What did he do? He went to his room to sleep. And I had to hang out with his dysfunctional children, which there's so much joy. But you know, are you the peace? So we started to talk about the Lord, and I started to minister to them. And then I found out my niece is going to church, and I found out her husband's going to church. Then I found out my other nephew, and I said, oh God, you're moving. Prayers work. Prayers work. And we just started to talk about the Lord, and we started, and that peace, and all of a sudden you felt that peace in the house. And I said, let me go talk to my brother. I go to the room, I tell my brother, listen, didn't you invite me? Get out of bed. Come on, let's go talk. Oh, no, come on, let's go. Come on. So he tells me, the first thing he says, you going to talk about Jesus? I said, you know, I don't go nowhere without talking about Jesus. Let's go. So we started talking, and he says, I got to go smoke a cigarette. I said, no, you don't need to do that. Stay right here. We said, it's peace. We have peace. And where you go, wherever you stand, the peace of God is with you. And you need to share that peace. Don't be anxious. Guys, we worry too much about things that are not our problems. You know what I do with my problems? I give them to God, because they're his in the first place. I get caught in messes sometimes, and then I got to go to God. I did this one, but Lord, help me. But he's peace. And when you give him your problems, instead of allowing the enemy to take your joy and your peace, don't allow it. Don't allow it. Say, devil, I'm going to speak to this right now. I know I'm going through this, but I know you're in control, God. You said that it's not by power, it's by might, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust. I'm telling you, you guys got to hold on to your peace, especially now in these holidays that everything is going crazy. You can't even go to a store because people are going crazy. They're beating each other up for a pair of shoes. It's crazy. This is why I believe in cyber. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because it's crazy. But even in the midst of that, when you walk into a store, there's somebody that needs Jesus. And you have to stand there. And you have to stand for Christ. And even if you have to say Merry Christmas or Happy Holiday, whatever it is, you minister to that person in peace. Because let me tell you, when you step out these doors, there's a world that's hurting. And there's a world that is, I don't judge and I don't point fingers at anybody. You know why? Because there's one pointing right back at me. I don't go there. That's not my job. That's God's job. My job is to love, to understand, to pray, and to guide them into all truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide them into truth. You have the Holy Spirit. You can guide people into truth because you have the word, but only in peace. Only in peace. Don't let nobody steal your peace. Because let me tell you, there are things out there that the enemy's trying to do, even against the church, to take away their peace. I like your idea about connecting with other churches because we need each other. We are the body. You're the leg, you're the head. We are the body. And I even think the church has forgotten that we're a body. We're all an island to ourselves. That's not what God created us to be. He created us to be united. You know, there is power in unity. There is power in unity. There is power in corporate prayer. Our prayer night is Monday night. And let me tell you something. I will tell you, can you open this for me, Rita? I will tell you that sometimes the enemy will keep people home. I'm sorry. Will keep people home because they are either busy or tired or things are going on. And they allow the enemy to steal their peace. So they stay home and they do absolutely nothing. They watch TV and they're in the same miserable thing. Listen, prayer is important. I urge you, listen. Prayer is important. I always tell, she's the one that runs the prayer. And I said, if five people show up, we're going to turn it up with five people. If two people show up, we're going to turn it up with two people. We're going to intercede that God gets you while you're in the house. God, wake up. Their spirits, wake up. Their souls, get them here. Because that's what we do. We pray. We even if we get five people, one people, two people. My son Ezekiel, he's in Florida now. He was a youth pastor at our church. And when we had put him as a youth pastor, none of the kids were coming out. So for 3 years, he preached to the pews by faith. His wife sat there, his kids sat there, and the congregation, and I would go, but Ezekiel, just cancel the service. He says, no, mom. Mm-mm. I'm preaching like they're there. So we pray like they're there. We're praying, Lord, we thank you. We go to every chair. Lord, we thank you that this one is a missionary. And we thank you, and we're praying, and we're seeking, because that's what God is about. Don't stay home. Prayer is important. Because, you know, I hear people say, we're praying at home. No, you're not. Stop lying. And I'm going to tell you why you're lying, because you ain't got no fruit. Stop it. I know when you pray. I tell my people, I know when you pray, because you're known by your fruits. And if you ain't got no fruit, you ain't praying. So when they tell me they're praying, I say, what was that? 8 o'clock. Oh, that's how I get them. Oh, that show was, oh, you weren't praying, you're watching TV. Here we go with the enemy stealing your peace again. You know that when you're in the presence of God, there is peace. Listen, there is peace. In the midst of the storm, there is peace. In your job, there is peace because you're there. In your family, there is peace. Wherever you go, when you go on a bus, there is peace. I tell people all the time, wherever you go, you change the atmosphere. You could be in the midst of demonic forces. The light has come because the enemy knows when they see the blood of Jesus all over you and they see how you are, peace is there. So you need to keep your peace and don't allow anybody. No situation. And I know, listen, it's easier said than done. For me to tell you not to worry. Because Puerto Ricans, we worry. We worry about a pastel. We worry about all things. Can I be real, Spanish people? We worry about everything. But I learned one thing. Worry only gets you to look older. That's what it does. It makes you look older. So I said, you know what, Lord? I want to look like this for the rest of my life. So I'm not going to worry no more. I'm just going to trust that you are in control. And you're going to guide me into all truth. Because let me tell you, I will not let the enemy steal my peace. I will, listen to me, tell right now, say, I will not let the enemy steal my peace. Go say it. I will not let the enemy steal my peace. You go into the word, see, I'm going into my Pentecostal minute. I told you I was going to let you go. Psalm 37:5 says this, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Psalms 40:17, you guys can write them down. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper and my deliverer. You are my God, and you do not delay. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God will never let you down. You may let yourself down, but God will never let you down. God, did you hear what I said? God will never let you down. I don't care what anybody tells you. God, even when you make a mess out of your own stuff, God will never let you down. Because the Bible says that when you're faithless, he remains faithful. See, he knows us from the very foundations of the earth. He knows us. He knew when we were made. He knows everything about us. So there's nothing new to God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. He knows you. He sees the now. He sees the future, the present, tomorrow, and the future. What happens with us is that the enemy attacks us. We look at the moment, right? And we freak out at the moment. And God has already seen the answer. But we're too busy worried now. So don't worry now. Say, you know what, Lord? This situation is going on, but you're in control. And you will take care of the situation, whatever it is, whether it be with your children, with your husband, even with searching for a pastor, which is a very hard thing to do, by the way. Because we came in January 35 years, no, 19 years ago, no, 18 years. We became pastors, 18 years, senior pastors. And it was hard because I was part of the church before my husband became pastor. So I had to pull myself out of that situation because my husband was a candidate for the church. And it was a very hard. You want to talk about peace? There was a lot of craziness happening there. Because for some reason, when you're looking for a pastor, people go crazy. It's. Can I be real here? People forget that this is about a church. It's about a family. And we need to find a good angel of the Lord for the house. somebody that's going to move the church in his vision, somebody that's going to win the community. And we go a little crazy. And sometimes I tell people, I used to tell them people, humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Because the Bible says that when you humble yourself, he will lift you up. Humble yourself. Forget about what you think. Forget about the world system. This is not world system. This is the God thing. This is a theocracy. This is run by God. This has nothing to do with the world system. And even in that, the enemy tries to take your peace. So listen, I don't know what's going on with you guys searching. I know what's going on with you guys searching. But let the peace of God reign in this situation. Because God is going to bring you the right pastors for this house. That's going to speak life to this house. Not only to this house, but to the community. And this community is going to, because you see, this church cannot win this whole community. This is why we have to connect with other churches. Everybody's like, oh, we can't connect. No, I connect with everybody, with the priests, with the whoever. You know why? Because I cannot win this by myself. You cannot win Kearney by yourself. You need a big, different churches to help you. So even in that, the enemy tries to steal your peace, because we went through it. It was very hard. I won by one vote. We won by one vote. One vote, because 59 people voted against us, which is fine. That's their prerogative. Listen, you vote, you know, you vote for whoever you want to vote. But when they called us down to the room talking about peace, I was crazy that day, because it was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, we're going to, I have two teenagers, they were teenagers at the time. And you know how that is when you have teenagers, crazy. So what happened? So we won, and they took us downstairs, and they said, we just want to tell you that you won by one vote, and you don't really have to take this church. So I looked at my husband looked at me, and my husband said, can everybody leave the room? And I got scared when he said that. I said, oh boy, he's kicking everybody out the room. Oh boy, I'm scared. So all of a sudden, he says, what do you think? And I said, listen, I'm your wife. I'm here to back you up 100%. Whatever you decide, I will follow you. In my mind, I'm going, you crazy. This is crazy. But I said, but I'll back you up. So he looked at me and says, we're going to heal this church in the name of Jesus. We're going to heal this church, and we're going to move on. And he did. And within, it's going to be 18 years. And God has touched people's lives that, I will tell you, despised us, but love us. You say anything about us now, you're in trouble. It's just over. But that's the peace of God. Because we came in with peace. We came in saying, you know what? You don't know us, but we know Christ. Don't look at us, look at the Christ inside of us. Because if you look at me with your eyes, you're going to see failure. But if you see me with the eyes of Jesus, you're going to see potential. You see, this is why peace is so important. We forget about peace. We're supposed to walk in peace in every aspect of our lives. Even with our children. Listen, teenagers today, oh God, I pray for my parents. My kids, I don't have teenagers, and God knew that if I would have had teenagers, see, you say God knows you. If I would have had a teenager, like my daughter, in the Facebook era, I would be in prison for murder. I tell my congregation this all the time. I would not have been able to handle Facebook with my daughter. With my son has always been a homie. He's still a homie. He loves being home with his wife and kids. My daughter was a little different. She was a little, I don't know why the girl, I would have preferred it the other way around. But let me tell you, I would have committed murder. Because I look at these kids today and I'm saying, parents, you need to pray peace over your children. You need to cover them with the blood of Jesus, because the devil is a liar. He is stealing your children through all this garbage that's going on Facebook. Kids, this 10-year-old girl just hung herself. Come on, guys. The enemy's taking people's peace. He's stealing people's peace. And you know what's that? When he steals a child of God's peace, that's even more dangerous. That's why you take your children, watch what they do. I used to hide in the car and watch my daughter during lunch in high school. I was not playing. And I would get out the car and beat her. I'm old school Pentecostal. There's no timeout. It's bang out. You're in trouble. That's it. It's over. So I look at these parents, and I tell my parents all the time, listen to me. You need to watch what your kids do. Do not cover the sky with your hand, because you're lying only to yourself. Go watch what your kids are doing. When a kid tells you they're not giving you your Facebook password, that's when the phone is going down their throat and never see the phone again, basically. Because today, Facebook, it's a good thing. Facebook is good to present the gospel. It is. There's a lot of ways. But the other side of that is that if you don't watch what your kids are doing on Facebook, there's a lot of garbage going on that you don't know about. Girls running away with men that they're meeting on Instagram and Facebook. And this all comes to the peace. Here we go back to peace. When you have the peace of God in you, there's something that your kids are doing that wakes up inside of you. Oh, something tells you something's going on. What is she doing? What is she up to? I look at my teenagers. They're all scared of me in church. I don't know why. Because I show up in the school. I don't care. And I tell the parents, peace that passes all understanding. Pray peace over your children. Pray peace over your home. Pray peace for your demonic boss that's driving you crazy because that happens to. Pray for peace because peace has come. Christ came to give us peace. And we take Christmas and we turn it around to be a holiday that everybody gets stressed out. I don't understand why. I just don't understand why, because the point is that Christ came to give peace. It says God's peace comes to guard your heart and mind as a result of our communion with Christ. He came to give you peace here. Here. Because where is it that we start to worry? Here. That's why the Bible says put on the mind of Christ. Because when you have on the mind of Christ, something comes against you, you can stand on that situation because you have the mind of Christ. Peace comes here. This is where peace has to come. We get too crazy. Oh my God, this is, oh my God. Forget that. Peace. One day at a time. One step at a time. Colossians 3:15 says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since a member of one body, you were called to be at peace and be thankful. When we call on God from our hearts, that remains in Christ and His Word. John 15:7 says this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See that? See how simple that is? We complicate stuff. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's the God I serve. Then God's peace will flood our troubled souls. Do you trust God today in spite of your surrounding troubles or circumstances? I'm here to tell you that God knows you. From the minute you were born, from the minute you were created, God knows you. He knows everything about you. You may have your plans, but the Bible says that in the end, God's plan succeeds. Amen? I'm going to let you go. It's 12 o'clock. Let's go to Romans 8, 35-39. I want to read this to you. And I'm reading from the Message. I love the Message Bible. Romans 8, 35-39 says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else that he would gladly and freely do for us? And he would dare tangle with God, and who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even worse, sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in the cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Nothing should separate you from the love of God. Nothing should separate you from the peace that God has given you. Don't allow nothing or no one to disturb your peace with God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me finish with this. I read this in a book. I'm reading a book called She Believes, and I read this. Her name is Debbie Lindell, and this is what she put. It was a big article there on a big paragraph on anxiety and stress. And she said, we have to choose not to worry and to believe that God is bigger than our problems. The word of God is very clear that worry and believing God don't mix. It doesn't mix. Then I'm going to finish with this. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concern. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ places worry at the center of your life. Don't allow anything or anyone to steal your peace. If your house is going crazy, it's okay. God is in control. Don't let the enemy take your peace, because at the moment of you giving the enemy of your peace, there comes anxiety, there comes sickness, there comes you not trusting God anymore because you're so busy thinking about everything else. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We were saying that in the car today. I don't look at anything that's going around. I fix my eyes on Jesus. Because if I fix my eyes on every situation as a pastor's wife, my peace would have been gone a long time ago. So I've learned to focus and fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, knowing that he's in control, that he has me from the moment before creation until the moment I close my eyes and go see him face to face. He is in control of my life. He is my Abba Father God. He knows everything about me. So this morning, if you're dealing with an issue about peace, whether it be with your children, whether it be with your home, I'm just going to say a prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and believe that God is going to do a miracle, whatever that situation is, in peace. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you. We thank you because you give the peace that passes understanding. We thank you because you alone are Jehovah God. We thank you that even from the very foundations, you know us, God. You know everything about us, God. I pray, oh God, that whatever the situation is, God, you take total control right now in your name, oh God. I send peace. I send joy in the Holy Ghost to whatever that situation is, oh God. And I pray that you take total control over that situation, oh God, that they may know that you make a way where we see no way. That sometimes we have to go through a little suffering, but God, you're in control. And we pray blessings in every one of their homes. We pray for their children, for their youth. We pray that the Holy Spirit get a hold of their hearts, oh God, that they may never leave or depart from your ways, oh God. That they may struggle because we struggle, but you are greater than the struggle, God. So I pray peace over this house. I pray peace over choosing a pastor in this house, oh God. We pray peace because we know that the world may try to give all the peace they want, but you are the ultimate peace, God. Minister to the hearts tonight, this morning, God, and just touch the hearts of God. Just tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and your mercy and your grace and just for loving us for who we are, God. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord.